Dit was lekker. Julle baie welkom.
It's great to be in the house of the Lord.
Pastor Heinrich. Welcome. Nikki, Anneke, waar's Kate te sy kinderkerk toe, sy daai kant toe. Baie welkom en baie dankie dat julle ons kom bless met julle teenwoordigheid. Ons sien regtig uit om te hoor, Heinrich, wat jy vir ons het. En sal jy hier by my kom staan dat ek nog 'n paar mooi goed oor jou sê. So ek dink ek wil vir Heinrich net eer vandag. Ek dink baie van julle is miskien nie in die kerk en almal ken die Shofar se geskiedenis nie. En ek dink iets wat ek geleer het in 'n seisoen is dat ons is regtig 'n familie wat baie keer dysfunctional is. En jy kan ontspan. Ons moet so wees. Party van julle vra ons moet die kerkie perfek wees, nie? Nee, want jy's daarin. En ek is daarin. En ek dink toe ons op 'n stadium in as 'n beweging deur 'n tasbare, wat is die Afrikaans vir dysfunctional? Maar net 'n stikkende tyd. Ons was maar net in 'n moeilike tyd gewees as 'n beweging. Het die Here vir Heinrich opgerig en vir Heinrich gebruik om die boot stabiel te hou. Hy was nie die boot nie. Jesus is die groot stuurman, so ek dink Heinrich het daar agter die Here gestaan en dak en daai, maar hy was bereid om dit te doen. En hy het ons boot deur 'n stormagtige tyd gevat en ek probeer regtig nou nie gat kruip as ek dit sê nie, Heinrich, maar dit help in elk geval nie. Maar as dit nie vir Heinrich was nie, dink ek het ons regtig deur 'n groot split of 'n fragmentasie of 'n ding gegaan. Die Here het regtig vir hom so mooi gebruik om ons bymekaar te hou en ek wil regtig vir jou eer daarvoor, Heinrich. Dis al lank terug, maar in my lewe is dit seker een van daai highlight hoofstukke om te kon sien hoe die Here 'n man gebruik, 'n persoon gebruik wat gewillig is om op te staan en te sê, luister, ek gaan beklei vir wat kosbaar vir my is, want ek weet dit is iets wat kosbaar vir die Here is. En ja, Heinrich, ek wil jou eer daarvoor. Ons as 'n gemeente wil vir jou eer daarvoor. En intussen is die boot stabiel. Intussen kon ons, jy sit mos nie voet op 'n petrol op 'n boot nie, maar daai liewertjie vorentoe druk of wat ook al en kon ons bietjie momentum optel en dis vir ons regtig 'n besondere voorreg om te sien hoe jy ons beweging lei. Heinrich is 'n pastoor, ek weet jy het regtig dis wat ek die meeste in jou raak sien, sy liefde, sy geduld vir mense is fenomenaal. En ek kyk op na jou, ek leer by jou, ek ontvang by jou en ons sien uit om vandag by jou te kry. Kan ek vir jou bid? Ja. Here Jesus, ons wil vir jou so dankie sê vir Heinrich vandag. Ons wil vir jou dankie sê, Here, net dat hy Here, dat hy gebruik word deur u op so 'n kragtige manier. En ons wil sommer net vanoggend ook vir hom kom bid. Ons we don't take Father God him or the word for granted. Ons weet, Here, hy preek met u genade en met u goedheid en met die hulp van die Heilige Gees. So ons bring sy boodskap na u toe. Ons bring onsself na u toe. Ons bring sy stem, sy tong, sy lippe en ons bring ons ore, ons gedagtes en ons harte na u toe. En ons vra, Here, dat daar vanoggend in hierdie kerk regtig transformasie sal plaasvind. Dat daar regtig 'n mooi vorming van Jesus se goed sal plaasvind in ons, sodat dit ook deur ons kan plaasvind. Ons bid dit in Jesus naam. Amen.
Halleluja. Amen. Baie dankie, my broer. OK. Dankie. So, Rick sê vir my, ek kan Engels of Afrikaans spreek, en so lank soos wat ek wil. So, ek het nou 'n timer hier gehad, nou sit ek hom net af, dis nou nie meer nodig. dit is so groot voorreg om hier te kan wees. Rick, baie dankie vir daardie mooie woorde. Jy weet, ek sê altyd, 'n leier is net so goed en so sterk soos sy span. So ek is so bevoorreg om 'n ongelooflike span om my te hê. Span apostoliese leiers en pastore wat regtig waar hierdie doen vir meer as net 'n werk, maar hulle lewens neerlê. En wil sommer daarom ook net vir Rick en Alida eer vir die ongelooflike rol wat julle speel in hierdie gemeente, Rick. Ons is so trots op Woester. Woester het 'n baie spesiale plekkie in my hart. Dis een van die eerste gemeentes by wie ek gepreek het. kolossale fout gemaak in daardie eerste boodskap, maar almal was net ongelooflik kind gewees en niemand het my uitgedaag op dit nie. Ek het daar in die Bybel, in Jesus se disippels was daar Simon, Simon Petrus, en dan was daar ook Simon, die ou wat, hy was 'n bietjie van 'n terrorist gewees, nee, en ek het die twee heeltemal opgemix in haar eerste boodskap, maar het was fijn, allemaal was baie gracious gewees met my, en ek is dankbaar vir groei, en dat ons as leiers, dat ons kan groei, en ons as gemeente saam kan groei, en dat ons genade kan hê met mekaar, en as deel van my span, my eerste span is my vrou, wat rechtig waar al vir jare aan my sy staan, en so, my liefie, wil jy net kom, en asseblief, as daar ietsie op jou hart is, waar die Heer op jou hart is, ek weet jy is reg in season en out of season, maar wanneer my vrou praat, dan luister ek, en die Heer het al in ons lewens, ons as gesin beskerm van baie groot foute, en ek het ook al paar flaters gemaakt, omdat ek nie na geluister het, so ek nou al geleer. 20 jaar, was het nou in November 20 jaar gevier, halleluja, 20 jaar van die Heer se genade op ons lewens, en so liefde deel gauw met die awesome mense wat is op jou hart.
Ja, Rieke, ek wil net by jou aansluit in die worship was Johannes 3 vers 16 net voortdurend in my gedagte, want so lief het God die wêreld gehad, want so lief het hy die wêreld gehad, hy sy enigste seun gegee het, sodat elkeen wat in hom glo, nie verlore sal gaan nie, maar die ewige lewe kan hê. En ek het gevoel met in Afrikaans net te spreek oor hierdie gemeente en oor hierdie gemeenskap, dat elkeen wat in hom glo, nie verlore sal gaan nie. God is so lief vir ons, dat hy het gegee, het sy alles gegee. En dan het God vir my net vir julle as gemeente, Psalm 73, in die New King James, vers 25 sê, "Who have high in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Die verduideliking hierso vir portion sê ook, "My rock forever." Die shofar woeste die Here sê, "But God is the strength of my heart and my portion, my rock forever." Amen. Amen. But it's only hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that your word is powerful, it is alive. Lord, it cannot return void. Lord, it will accomplish what you have set out for it to do. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have loved us so much that you gave. God, and you are still giving. Lord God, I pray, Lord, for this church and this community, Lord God, to surrender, God, their hearts, their thoughts, their desires, God, to your will and purpose for their lives. God, I pray, God, that their mouths will declare your goodness, Lord, in and out of season. I pray, God, that their hearts will have an expectation of your goodness, God, to taste and see that you are good. Thank you, Lord, that you are the strength, the portion, and the rock of Shofar Vista. Yes. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, my liefie. Terwijl ek gister so 'n bietjie voorbereid en het gebid het in die boodskap in, en ek gedink aan Rieke en Alida en die Boorman gesin en hierdie gemeente en wat julle dra, toe drop die Here net hierdie woord in my hart, resilience. Julle is 'n vasbyter gemeente. En daar is 'n deursettingsvermoë, daar is, ek weet nie wat die Afrikaanse woord is vir resilience, die hele mense met die mooi Afrikaans, wat is resilience in Afrikaans? Maar daar is 'n vasberadenheid, daar is 'n kapasiteit om winters te oorleef, rowwe somers te oorleef, en ten spyte van dit alles nog steeds vol te hou en deur te druk, reg tot aan die einde. En ek denk daar is 'n salving wat die Here vir julle gegee het, nie net vir 'n 100 meter sprint nie, maar om die marathon klaar te maak, die marathon van die reesies van die lewe, van God se roeping. So ek wil julle sommer net bemoedig vanoggend om te sê dat moenie onderskat wat die Here vir julle gegee het, en daar's baie mense, baie gemeentes, baie bewegings wat sterk begin, maar nie noodwendig klaar maak nie. Maar daar's 'n salwing wat rus op hierdie gemeente, wat rus op jou, Rick en Alida, om standvastig te wees, deur te druk, om met 'n klein bietjie water aan die lewe te bly. En ek voel dat, soos wat Nikki gesê het, dat die seisoen is hier, die tyd is hier vir daardie, omdat jy getrou was om die klein bietjie wat die Here vir julle gegee het, om dit te steward en dit te nurture, dat daar's 'n porsie wat die Here vir julle het as julle erfdeel. So maak sommer net julle harte lekker wyd oop aan die begin van 2024, verwag van die Here om julle te kom bederf. Hy wil julle bederf, en ek wil vanoggend met julle deel 'n woord wat die Here op my hart gesit het en wat ek daar in Somerset West, waar ons plaaslike gemeente is, oor 'n paar weke met hulle deel, so julle moet maar julle sitplek gordels vasmaak en ek gaan nou hierdie boodskap wat eintlik 'n reeks is, gaan ek kondenseer in een in en ek gaan my bes doen om dit om dit klaar te kry vandag en ek gaan dit maar in Engels doen, so vergeef my, so hier en daar gaan ek so 'n bietjie na die Afrikaans oorskakel as die woordeskat daar is. Maar Here, ons wil vir u vanoggend net kom dankie sê, Here, vir wie is, dankie vir die voorreg, Here, wat ons het om u te kan dien, die voorreg wat ons het as familie, Here, om saam te kan kom en dat ek vanoggend in u huis is met familie. Here, soos Riek gebid het met boeties en sissies in u, Here, en dat ons vanoggend saam kan kom en kan sê, Here, ons is so dankbaar en ons is so opgewonde oor u woord. Wil u kom, Here, vanoggend en u Heilige Gees oor ons harte kom uitstort, Here, wil u vanoggend 'n wolk breek van u openbaring oor ons harte kom uitstort, sodat ons, Here, vanoggend nie net aangeraak sal wees nie, Here, maar radikaal verander en getransformeer sal kan word, sodat die wêreld om ons verander kan word, Here, in Jesus naam. Amen. So ek wil vir ons in die eerste plek gou vinnig neem na Psalm 127 vers 1 en this is a psalm from Solomon, right? So Solomon, he pens this psalm and it is very interesting that this comes from Solomon, a king who had so much wisdom, so much wealth, so many wives, so many homes, so many soldiers. He had no lack in anything physical in his life. But he pens the psalm and he leaves us these words of wisdom that for me just really encouraged me towards the end of last year, but also challenged me as I went into this year. And he says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And this is a portion of scripture that is so rich in meaning, but I just want to highlight one or two things for us. The first one there is that the assumption is that we are building and watching. Amen? That's the assumption. The assumption of this verse, the aanname van hierdie vers is dat ons is 'n bouende en 'n biddende groep mense. That's the assumption. And so the assumption of the gospel and the power of the gospel is that the gospel enters the lives of individuals and of communities and transforms them from being victims and spectators to being builders and watchmen. All right, so that means that God has called each one of us not to be part of the crowd that just spectates life or is trapped within a victim mentality where we blame other people and we blame circumstances and we blame our grandfathers or grandmothers or our in-laws or the previous government or the future government or our genetic background or our empty bank balance or our language. We are not victims. We are builders. Amen? We are builders. We have the awesome privilege to build beautiful things. We have the awesome privilege of building this temple, first and foremost, looking after this temple, feeding it well, making sure we rest well, not putting stuff in there that's going to damage it and hurt it. We have the privilege of building this temple. We have the privilege of building our relationship with God, our marriages, our families, our careers, our friendships. We are builders. And the reality is that we are either building or we are tearing down. We are either building or we are tearing down. A simple example is if we are walking down the road, like many of us often do, and we see something lying on the ground that should not be there. My choice to either pick that up or to leave it there adds to my community. Amen? It adds to what my community looks like. It adds to the atmosphere in my community. If I choose to pick that thing up, I can do something very small, but I do it as a builder. In other words, I say, I'm not going to blame other people for littering. I can't fix everything, and I can't fix all the streets, and I can't pick up everything all the time, but what I can do now, I will do now. I am a builder. And so God comes and he encourages us and he says, keep on building, keep on watching, but understand this and know this, that unless God builds with us, unless God watches with us, then it will be in vain. And so Solomon knows this. Solomon had all of this wealth, all of these things, and he knows that ultimately, if God isn't with us, if he is not backing us, then it will not amount to anything. If you were to open the newspaper today, listen to some podcasts, watch social media, you will realize that there are many people, even incredible men and women of God, who over the years have discovered, unless we keep God an active part of our building, things will end badly. So many church leaders falling nowadays, so many marriages, even after 30, 40 years of marriage, disintegrating. Why? Because somewhere down the line, we just started to begin to think that I can do this on my own. I can build on my own. I can watch on my own. And so I'm going to talk to us this morning about standing watch, about being gatekeepers, about saying to the devil, no way, Jose, not in my life. Saying to the devil, access denied. The door is shut. The door is locked. Devil, you're not getting into my mind. Devil, you're not getting into my heart. Devil, you're not getting into my marriage. Devil, you're not getting into my classroom. Devil, you are not getting into my community. Devil, we are gatekeepers here in the northern part of the Cape, and we are standing watch over what goes through that tunnel, and we're saying, devil, no, you will not allow, we will not allow corruption to go through that tunnel. We will not allow human trafficking to go through that tunnel. We will not allow any junk from the pit of hell to go through that tunnel. We are gatekeepers, builders in the spirit, but also naturally. But it is important for us to understand this. Unless we do this in dependency upon God, it's just a lot of effort. Man, dit maak ons moeg. As jy op jou eie moet bou die hele tyd, as jy moet voel maar jy is op jou eie en jy karring nou maar hier aan en jy probeer ietsie maak werk hier, dit is ongelooflik uitputtend. It's a vermoeienis vir die siel en vir die gees. But if we know that God builds with us, God watches over us, it changes the picture. And so people, when we look at this verse, we often say, okay, so is God building or am I building? Is God watching or am I watching? And I will say, yes. Yes. God is watching and I'm watching. God is building and I'm building. But what is important to understand is I'm doing, this speaks about a relationship of dependency. It's a relationship of dependence, speaks about a humility of heart. And so for us as a church family, as Rick has indeed said, we went through some incredible storms the last 7 years, last 10 years or so, even longer. Storms which otherwise would have torn us apart. And I've spoken to many other church leaders that I meet overseas and even in South Africa, and they're like, you need to write a book because you should not be existing. This church family should have been splintered in a few different pieces. What has happened? You need to chronicle and teach the rest of the body of Christ what has happened. And I'm like, all I know is that God was watching over us. All I know was that God was building. I used to know the verse that says that Jesus built his church and the gates of hell will not stand against it. I used to know that verse. I now experience that verse. He is real. He is committed to building with us. He is committed to standing guard over our marriages and over our children and over our business. He is committed. And he wants to do that through you. Psalm 141 verse 3, Solomon's dad, David, I think said this. He said, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And so before we start talking about being gatekeepers and blocking what the devil wants to do, that's the one thing. When we are a gatekeeper, when we are standing watch, we're saying no to the devil. I remember at the beginning of COVID, a guy jumped over our fence, broad daylight. When I came out of the house, he was there casually walking with one of the bikes towards the gate. I'm like, what are you doing here? The only thing I could think of was to shout at him. And he got a fright and jumped over the fence again. And I ran out the gate trying to run after him. Like after a while, I'm like, okay, he's left the bike. What am I going to do now that I've caught him? It's like, okay, just let him go. But from there, we started a neighborhood watch because everybody was moaning and complaining about the crime in our community and nobody's doing anything about it. And I challenged the men. The guys, will we just moan and complain? Or will we do something about it? And then somebody said, they're so glad there's someone here that can add this up. It's like, oh my goodness, I'm a pastor. I'm so busy. I don't have time for another WhatsApp group. How many of you guys are just like, whoa, I need some more WhatsApp groups in my life. I just need, can I get another WhatsApp group, please? I was like, I don't have time for this. But then I realized God has placed us in that community. And what I allow in my street will happen. I can close the door on it by faith in the spirit. And I can also do something physically about it. And I realized that I wanted to challenge our group. How do we speak about our community? Everybody's complaining, the municipality is doing nothing, this country is doing nothing, and then starts going, you know how it goes, hulle praat van hulle, hulle doen dit, and hulle doen dat, and I'm like, no, let's be positive, let's make a change. And I want to encourage us that as we go into this year, let's close the door on what the devil wants to do, but in the same time, let's open the door for what God wants to do. And the most important gate we need to stand watch over is the gate of our mouths. That is the most important gate. That's why praise and worship is so important, because it's worship unto God, but it is also training for our lips. How to speak life. How to sing life. Everything gets shaped and formed by words first. God created the universe by speaking, and He has still placed within humanity the power to create through the words that we speak. And if you forget anything else that I'm going to share with you, I would love for you to take this verse home. Pray this into being. Pray this over your life. Ask God, God, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. May the door of my lips be shut to negativity, to speaking death, to gossip, to agreeing with other people, to belittle someone else, and to speak evil of the country. Let my door, the door of my lips, speak life. Let it speak hope. Let it speak encouragement. Let it speak God's purposes. And so we want to be submitted to the God of life. Gatekeepers, not in our own strength, but in His strength. In Nehemiah 12, verse 30. There's this beautiful portion where Nehemiah goes and he rebuilds the walls of Jerusalem after the Babylonians burnt it down 70 years or so before. And he goes to Jerusalem, he sees the walls are burned down, the gates are burned down, and then they start to rebuild and they start to reinforce the walls of Jerusalem. And it says the priests and the Levites purified themselves, and they purified the people and the gates and the wall. And this is what I would like us to remember. Gatekeeping, standing guard over your mouth, standing guard over what the Lord has given you. The precious things God has entrusted into your care. It is a holy calling. Right? It is holy in the sense that God looks for someone who will be willing to stand in the gap for Him. Remember, I think it's Jeremiah that said that he was looking for someone to find a gatekeeper, to find a watchman, to find someone to stand in the breach, but he could find no one. And I'm so thankful that in my life, my dad decided to be a gatekeeper. That in a family background where alcoholism was rife and almost his entire family was part of this broken cycle of alcoholism and just a lot of sexual brokenness, he decided that he was going to purify himself. He decided that he was going to say no to that spirit of alcoholism. He decided that his kids were not going to grow up in the same home that he grew up in. And he said, that is my calling. Before I'm a pastor, before I do anything else, I'm going to stand watch over my family. And he purified himself. He surrendered himself to the Lord. What does it mean to purify yourself? It simply means that I say, God, what I'm doing now, my role as a father, my role as a husband, when I go to work as a graphic designer or as a teacher, I realize I'm a gatekeeper in my office building. I'm a gatekeeper in my school. I realize that as I'm playing soccer with my friends, I'm a gatekeeper over this team. That there's something God has given me and it is holy. You know, we would expect the band and the preacher at least to pray before they come onto the stage. We would expect the band and the preacher at least to understand that this is not just me standing around the bride-place fire or doing a little talk. That I need to come with a sense of the holiness of this moment. I need to come and I need to understand there's something precious that is at stake. I need to understand that what I'm busy with here will have an eternal impact and an eternal significance. It is the same for the places where God has placed you. And I'm trusting the Lord that we will come
And at the beginning of this year, we will purify ourselves. Purify ourselves from bad, negative expectations. You know, I celebrated 48 years of life last year, 20 years of marriage, and I'm so thankful for all the wonderful signposts of God's faithfulness in my life. Thankful for the victories. Thank you for the breakthroughs. But there are also some things in my life that I consistently need to bring to God, and I need to say to God, God, purify my thinking in this area of my life. God, will you come and help me not to carry this burden that I picked up 2 years ago through a disappointment. Help me to unburden myself. I want to purify myself before you. And at the end of the service, we're gonna pray for some of you because you are carrying stuff that's weighing you down. You are carrying things that are polluting your thinking. You are expecting bad things to happen to you because that's the way it has worked in your family. I'll never forget when I went into business after I taught for a couple of years, high school, I went into starting a business and had the responsibility of designing the business plan and then applying for funding for this business. And I remember one of the directors looking at this business plan that I'd drawn up. He looked at this thing and he said, "This is a bunch of nonsense. Throw it up, threw it in the bin." And then I remember sitting there in that moment, and immediately I was triggered to go back to living in my grandfather's house with him as a family. We lived with my grandpa, my grandma for a while. My grandfather was a pharmacist, and he eventually took all of his savings and started a little business, a little grocery store. And it went well for a couple of years, but eventually that business went bankrupt. And we lived with him in the house, and we saw what happened to him as a man. He had to sell his car, had to buy a little skedonkie. He was now all of a sudden dependent upon my mom and dad to pay for the house, and something happened in him. And then I saw that, and I realized me seeing my grandfather, whom I had so much respect for, starting a business, and that business going bankrupt, planted a seed of doubt in my heart as to whether I would be able to do that as well. And I was so grateful. I loved teaching. It was incredible. And I enjoyed every moment of it. But when I went into business, God knew that He needed to get hold of that trigger in my heart. He needed to get hold of that fear in my heart. So He set me up with a director that was very harsh. And when He tore up that thing, I was like, yeah, He's right. This is junk. I'm not cut out for this. I must go back to teaching. And I remember walking out of that door, and I remember so clearly God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to me, "Whom will you believe? Whom will you believe? Will you believe this man's words? And will you believe your memories? Or will you believe my word?" It says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I had to confront that. I had to come and I had to purify my heart. So purifying our hearts and our minds is not just something which we do, slap some oil on your forehead. We're going to do that. We're going to slap a lot of oil on some of your foreheads. We're going to pray, God, would you purify them? But it means challenging thoughts of negativity, challenging things that the enemy plants in your heart to make you dream small, think small, believe small, and settle for something that is so much underneath God's best for you. I remember I went back to the office. I took that business plan out of it again, out of the bin, put it on the desk and say, God, I believe I prayed over this. You had given this to me, and I'm speaking your life over this funding proposal. The directors decided not to go through with the, continue with the business. I went into ministry. A year later, $3 million came through that funding proposal that I'd drawn up. And God did it for me. Just, Heinrich, I wanted you to see. I wanted you to see, this was in, when was this? 2001, thereabouts, 2003, 2004, just after we had gotten married. And I realized that God wanted me to know that if I am willing to stand in faith and trust Him, and I could go back to the guys and say, guys, you can still do this. I'm not working for this company anymore, but look, it has come through. You can still do it. And through the grace of God, they were able to initiate some of those projects we had started on. But I'm trusting God that this morning we will be able to have a spirit of purification come, and we will receive it and say, God, If there's any pollution in my heart, any negative experience, anything that has come to cause me to draw back from going after what God has for me, I want to lay it down before you. I love what they did. They went, they purified the gates and the wall. Some of you need to go home and you need to purify some things. Anoint some things. Anoint your room. Anoint your laptop. Anoint your phone and say, this thing will be used for the glory of God. Because when we purify something, we're simply saying, this does not belong to me anymore. This body doesn't belong to me. These eyes don't belong to me. These ears don't belong to me. This mouth doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. My budget, my car, my bicycle, my tennis racket, my cricket bat, my pencils, my computer, it belongs to God. Anointed as a sign of saying, God, this is yours. Revelation 5 verse 1 to 14 says, the Apostle John, he's on the island of Patmos and he has these revelations of Jesus. God comes and God shows him beautiful things. And it says, I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne, a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Right, so here's something that is locked up, something that is shut. The scroll contains the words of God, the most precious treasure that there is. And I mean, when I talk about gatekeeping, when I talk about us standing watch over something, you know what determines whether I will stand watch? You know what determines whether I will say, yeah, I will do it, or no, I will do it next week? Two things. The one is if I realize how precious the treasure is that I have. Amen? If I realize that what I have is precious, then I will make sure that I protect that. And I understand that my relationship with my wife and with my daughters are precious. It's a treasure. And so I'm going to do everything within my power to protect that, to make sure that I give them quality time, to make sure that I give them my best and not just preach a great sermon and then be an absolute skirk by the eyes. But the lanteers was my slava. Why? Because their hearts and their trust and my girls' future marriages with their husbands, it's precious. So I want to invest in them. And I'm praying for their husbands because those guys exist already. They're alive somewhere. They're someone's son somewhere. So I'm praying for them. I'm not going to wait one day until some dude knocks on the door and asks whether he can pursue my girl. And I've got to tell him he needs to raise 10 people from the dead first before he can come back. I'm not going to wait for that moment. I'm praying for him now already. Why? Because they understand how precious their marriages are. So I will stand watch over their hearts. I will watch what they watch. I will watch what they read because I have an understanding the preciousness of their purity. But if I'm like, ugh, it's not that important, then I will just like, no, you can watch what you want to watch. You can like read what you want to read and you can get all your advice from social media and you can date any boy that you want to. It's like, ugh. So if I understand how precious it is, I will be vigilant. And Shofar Wooster, God has given you so many precious things. So you are rich in the treasure that God has given you. And I want to encourage you. Now I want to plead with you. Go and search God's face. Search His heart. Lord, will you show me the precious things you have given me? You are wealthier than you can possibly imagine. God has given you so much. Don't allow the devil to lie to you. And the most precious thing that He has given us is His Word. And here we see that God's will, it's locked up in the scroll. And there's no one that can unlock the scroll. There's no one that can come and can open up the scroll, this treasure. Because there is no greater treasure than the Word of God. Why do we encourage people to read their Word? Why do we encourage people to fast and to pray and to spend time in worship? Because we understand that if we have God's voice in our lives, we have the greatest treasure that there is. A house without the Word of God in it is a very sad place. The Word of God, an intimate living relationship with the Word of God and the Spirit of God can transform any house, any room into a palace. So here we see that someone is needed to unlock this treasure. Someone is needed to come and open up the revelation of God's will. And there's a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. As we're talking about standing watch, it's important to understand that in reality, not you nor I, none of us are worthy to stand watch effectively. None of us are able to fully look after what we need to look after. That none of us really are qualified. I'm not qualified to look after the Shofar church family. I'm not even qualified to look after my wife and my daughters in my own strength. I know what is inside of my heart. I know the brokenness there. I know the tendencies towards selfishness. I know the fear. I know the insecurity. I know the things that I battle with. And if I put my trust and my confidence in my own ability to stand watch, it's just a matter of time before the devil finds a weakness that he is going to exploit. He's a master at exploiting our weaknesses, using it against us. But over the years, I found that I do not have to run from my weaknesses. Rick shared it this morning. I found the treasure of repentance. I found that I can run towards the only one who is worthy. There's only one really worthy of looking after my marriage. Only one really worthy of looking after the purity of my daughters. Only one really worthy of looking after Shofar Church. Only one. And he is the one of whom the elders say, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scrolls and its seven seals." He is the only perfect gatekeeper. Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. And he says two things here. It says that he has conquered. And he is the one backing you in your marriage. He is the one backing you in your calling. He is the one backing you, grandpas and grandmas, as you are praying for your grandchildren. You don't have to pray out of a place of fear. What's going to happen to my kids in this nation? You can pray from the perspective of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, backing you, saying, "Stand watch. I know things are looking difficult. I know it looks like your son and your daughter not raising those kids in the ways of God, but I honor prayer. I listen to prayer. I am still the Lion of the tribe of Judah." Whatever you are facing, you don't have to face it alone. And we don't stand watch. We don't stand guard out of a place of victimhood. We stand watch understanding he has conquered. He has conquered. Therefore, the devil can bring my past against me. The devil can bring accusation against me. And I would very often say, "Devil, you are right. I'm not worthy. There are other people more qualified. But this is not about me. This is about what Jesus has done. The Lion of the tribe of Judah." So, devil, when you want to come through that door, I just point you to Jesus. Talk to Jesus. When I say, I plead the blood of Jesus over my family, I say, Jesus is king over this house. Heinrich is not dik ding in die huis nie. As you can see, I'm not. He's not the dik ding in die gemeente. Jesus is. He is the master. He is the king. And so I stand watch with vigilance and with determination, but I stand watch in humility and confidence in knowing he has conquered. And he has conquered. And then he goes on to say let me just run to that verse quickly. Verse 9 says, they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain." He's worthy. He's the only gatekeeper worthy of locking up and shutting up and releasing. "And by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." I sang a new song. Yeah, just in worship, I felt God saying to me that there's a new song, Shofar Worcester, that God has for you. It's a song that's in the spirit. And it's a song, and I felt that there are about five people in this room. God has called you to sing. Some of that might manifest up here, but a lot of that will just manifest there as you're standing. You will hear something in the spirit. You need to sing that. There's a new song that God is wanting to release over this church and over this community. Do not allow the devil to shut you up. Not your fears, not your shame, not your sin. There's a new song, a prophetic song, a song of freedom, a song of intimacy, a song of breakthrough that God has called you to sing. song about what the Lamb has done. And they sing about the fact that from every tribe and language and people, God has ransomed people. And we sit here, many tribes and languages represented. God has ransomed us. That means you are not your own. And so that means that none of what you have, none of what I have belong to us. It belongs to the one that has ransomed us. And he has ransomed us to do something very specific. He has to sing songs to him. He has to do amazing things for him. But he has ransomed us to do what? To be a kingdom and priest to our God and to reign on the earth. Shofar Wooster, there is authority for you. There's authority for you. Some of you need to close the door on this feeling of feeling illegitimate and feeling like an orphan in the house of God. There's authority for you. He has ransomed you, not just to sing incredible songs, not just to go to heaven one day, but to do what? To reign on earth. Now that's what the Bible says, not Heinrich. He has ransomed you, you're blood washed, blood bought, you don't belong to yourself anymore, but he has ransomed you to reign. That means to take authority. Don't allow the devil to just come into your house, come into your thoughts, come into this church and just do what he wants to do as if there are no people of God in this room. Take up your authority. Shofar Wooster, take up your authority. Your authority has got nothing to do with your physical location. It has got nothing to do with your numbers. It has got nothing to do with the language that you speak, with your bank balance. Your authority has got to do with whether you are ransomed by God or not. Are you ransomed? Are you ransomed? Then you have authority by God, called by Him to take back. We used to sing a song many years ago. I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. What has the devil stolen from you in 2023? What has he stolen from you 5 years ago? You know, very often we get used to stealing and killing. Jesus says in John 10:10, the devil, the enemy, has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come so that they can have life and have life in abundance. There's something very often about us as South Africans that we settle for the killing, stealing, and destroying because it is such a normal part of our lives. That very often we will read newspapers and the things don't upset us anymore even. Because it's a way of coping. It's a way of survival. But God says, I've got more for you. I've got more. Don't settle. I know many of you can relate that when you in your house, a broken tile or something crack in the wall, if you don't fix that thing relatively quickly, after a while you become used to it. And it takes somebody from the outside, mom-in-law, to come and visit somebody, father-in-law, like, you need a boer iewers nie, and voor hy ook om uitvies, hy besig om iets recht te maak of so, en like, whoa, okay. Don't get used to the devil coming in and doing what he wants to do. Don't get used to it. That's not the way that God has called us to live. He's ransomed us, and he's ransomed us to reign. And so I want to trust the Lord that you will, in your workplace and in your family, and especially in your thinking, and especially in your words, you will say to the devil, devil, if you want to think through someone else, you've got to find someone else. Devil, if you want to speak through someone else, you've got to find someone else. My dad used to tell me that you cannot prevent the birds from flying over your head, but you can prevent them from making a nest in your head. Mens nie altyd beheer oor die gedagtes wat die duivel in jou kop wil insit nie. Maar wat jy maak met die gedagtes, jy volle beheer oor. Say no out in Jesus' name. I will not allow that thought of unforgiveness. I will not allow the thought of bitterness. One of the ways in which we came through our challenging seasons was for me challenging the rest of our team. And I said, guys, we will give each other always the benefit of the doubt. And that means I will believe the best about you. I will believe that if something happens that hurts me, if there's communication that comes out in the wrong way, if there's something that I ask you to do and you don't do it, then I will believe that there was a very good reason why you couldn't do it. Why you said that thing in that. I will not believe. Yeah, precies. Sien jy nou? We often deal with God that way.
Something doesn't work out and something in our hearts like, ja, ek het dit geweet. God het sy wit broodjies. Hou meer van die mense, hou meer van daai mense. Daai woord on changing your world and beautiful song and dis vir die ander ou. We've got to challenge that mistrust towards God's heart. And not be so just comfortable when the bad things happen, we're like, ek verdien dit. Ek gaan nou maar hier eenetjie uitry. But when the good stuff come, you're just like, oh, wanneer gaan dit nou weer fout gaan? It's like when you read our newspapers, we major on the negative stuff. When a team loses, people write many, many articles on why they lose. They win a quick, and then you move on to the next bad thing. Can we develop a culture again where we celebrate life and life in abundance? Where we expect life and life in abundance? We look for it. We speak it. And I want to trust the Lord God Almighty that Shofar Wooster, you're going to step into your destiny. The authority God has given you to release life. You know, I know you guys know this. But you are a gate of revival. That's why you have this thing up here, revive. But collectively, you need to take ownership of that gate. And say, Lord, we are going to release that over this church, over my thinking, over my mouth, over my family. And sometimes it takes 10 years, 15 years, 20 years before something shifts. But you are a resilient church. You have the power to shift things. You have the power to move things around. So I'm going to ask you guys to stand with me this morning. I want to pray for you. And I'm going to trust God, the Holy Spirit, that He will come. And that He will purify some of our thinking in this place this morning. You know, we carry a lot of stuff with us. Kulturele goed. Dinge in ons families. Ek het vir die gemeente daarin sommer in Wes gesê, ek is so dankbaar vir my ouers. Die goddelike huis waarin ek groot geword het. So dankbaar vir daardie fondasie. My pa het hard gewerk, het deur moeilike tye gegaan, moes skool verlaat toe hy in graad 4 was en gaan werk het. Het skoolkoshuise se skottelgoed gewas en tennisbane gevee, deur die pos gestudeer, hard gewerk, oor die weg gekom met min. Gewoonde aan oor hoe om in weg te kom met min. En tot vandag toe nog steeds hy's huiwerig om skottelgoed waswater uit te loop en ander water in te tap. Want hulle groot geword was water was skaars. Bad by hom in die huis en daai badwater gaan uitgedra word op die gras gegooi word. Gaan nie die prop uitloop nie. Want hy is gewoonde aan om min te hê. En het was vir hom 'n journey gewees om by die plek te kom van waar hy sê, God, ek verwag u oorvloed. Ek verwag u oorvloed. Ek verwag dat we're not just going to have enough for surviving, but we're actually going to have enough for flourishing. And that's not a name it and claim it gospel. The name it and claim it gospel uses Jesus as a genie in a bottle. Let me pull a little verse out of the Bible. Shaka Baba, this is my magic. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about agreeing with what God is saying over you, seeking His will and submitting to His will. And that means that in difficult circumstances where things might look like they're falling apart, I have an expectation that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I will look for the things that I can be thankful for. And I will celebrate those things and I will speak those things. So can we close our eyes? Father, I thank you that this morning, Lord, that I can be speaking to kingdom and priests, Lord God. People have been ransomed by you. People have been called by you, Father, to live a life of overcoming. Lord God, to live a life of influence, to live a life of building in your house. And Father, I want to lift up these builders before you. There are people in this room, and God has called you to be gatekeepers over the treasures in this congregation. There are so many beautiful treasures here. What you carry is so precious. And I just want to pray, God, that you will open up the eyes of the gatekeepers. Those, Lord God, who have to steward the treasures in this local house. Those, Father God, whom you have called to stand watch in prayer. Those whom you have called to serve. Those whom you have called to come and through the words that they speak, through the words of prophecy, through the words of upliftment, through the words of encouragement, Lord, to be gatekeepers in this house to release life. I just sense that God is saying that He has created this place to be a storehouse. Like in Joseph's time, there's a great drought of life. But the church has been called to be the storehouse of provision.
and show for Wooster, God has called you to be the storehouse of His provision. The storehouse of His supernatural provision. And I feel the Lord is saying that there are people here in this place, you have disqualified yourself of being a gatekeeper. You don't feel that you're worthy. You don't feel that you're qualified enough. You don't feel that you're experienced enough. You don't feel that you are eloquent enough. Jy voel nie jy is goed genoeg voor die mikrofoon nie. Jy voel nie dat jy het genoeg van die geestelike gawes nie, watter rede ook al. Jy weet dat as jy huis toe gaan, is daar omstandighede by die huis wat jy gaan huiwerig wees om oop te maak vir ander mense. En jy voel skaam oor dit. Jy voel dat die Heer vir jou vanoggend sê dat Hy het jou geroep. Jy het 'n plek in sy huis. As iemand wat Hy geroep het om by die deurpoorte te staan en te sê, vandag gaan daar vryheid wees in hierdie huis. Vandag gaan daar genesing wees in hierdie huis. Vandag gaan daar verlossing wees in hierdie huis. And so Father, I want to pray for the spirit of confidence and boldness, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, I pray for purification this morning. Father, in Jesus' mighty name. So I want to extend the invitation just to you to just respond. If you know that God has given you an area of responsibility, there's an area of responsibility God has given you and the enemy has come in to steal. He has come in to destroy. Maybe it's in your bloodline. Looking back, you can see, like in my case, there was a history of bankruptcy or a history of alcoholism. And it took someone to say, no, that cycle will stop in the name of Jesus. That spirit will not have access to my kids in Jesus' name. Maybe it's in your workspace and in your work environment. There's a spirit of gossip. And everybody's just speaking negatively about the boss. Everybody wants to resign. Everybody's finding reasons to be negative. God has placed you there to shine His light. Maybe it's at school. There's no one serving Jesus. So it looks like everybody's just doing their own thing, wanting to walk in a different direction. God has given you authority to shine His light, that you speak light. And so I want to ask us that this morning, if that is you, that you would come in an attitude of saying to the Lord, Lord, will you set a guard over my mouth and keep a watch over the door of my lips? I want to bring my lips to you. And this year, Lord, I'm enrolling as a gatekeeper who want to speak life. So if that is you, just come to the front. I would love to pray for you and anoint you, because I believe that there are gates God is wanting to open up in this valley. Gates is wanting to open up in this community. So just come and respond quickly. I would love for Nikki, if you can come as well and just help me and some of the leaders. Thank you. There are treasures in this house. Don't underestimate it. Don't underestimate it. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord. I'm just going to pray in the Spirit. Just there's a way of inviting God this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Lord, thank you. As we come, Lord, we pray and we stand in faith for fresh boldness in the name of Jesus this morning, Lord God. Lord God, as we purify these saints, as we pray for them, we thank you, Lord God, for a flow, Lord, a river, Lord, of life that's going to be released through lips here this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that the enemy in many of these lives have come in like a flood, but you are raising up a standard, Lord. Thank you for a boldness. Here, ek kom bid weer vir die wat u geroep het om u troonsaal binne te gaan met vrymoedigheid. Here, om uit te roep tot u. Here, ek roep in Jesus naam vir u aan vanoggend en ek vra, Here, dat u daardie stemme gaan kom losmaak, Here, wat tot u moet roep, Here, wat die shofar moet blaas, Here, wat die vreugde krete van oorwinning moet vrylaat, sodat dit kan weer galm, Here, deur die troonsale van die hemel en die atmosfeer. Vader, ek bid dat u tonge gaan kom losmaak, Here, in Jesus naam. Shofar Wooster, ek voel dat die Here sê dat dis tyd om die poorte van prys, lofprysing en aanbidding weer wyd oop te maak. Hier is so baie spesiale salwing van intimiteit tot die Here. En hy is so opgewonde oor dit, so gelukkig met dit. Maar ek voel dat die Here sê dat daar is, ja, Here, dankie. Waar, wie het vanoggend gelei? Waar is die band? Is ouens met die band kan verteenwoordig? Ek wil gou vir julle bid. Waar is ons band manne? Kom gou, band manne en dames. If you're in the band, just come. And all of you guys, not just this morning's team, all of you, just come. I want to pray for you. All of you, in Jesus' name. Father, thank you, Lord. Again, I rebo shoot my life. Tof my bikki olie op, asblief. Whoa. Ja, that's it. All running down. Jesus, we thank you for this team, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord God. Just hold out your hands. Lord, I thank you that I can anoint the hands, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, Lord, as the Levites, Father, Lord, as those that you have called, my God, to sing, Lord God, to play the instruments, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for new songs, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for purification, for a holy calling that you have given them. Father, I pray for multiplication in the name of Jesus, Lord God, of the anointing that you have given them. And I just see you going to other parts of this valley, even to other shofar churches, that the Lord is raising you up to travel, to take what the Lord has given Shofar Worcester, to take it to other parts of the Shofar family and even to other congregations, that even in this town, God is going to open up doors for you in other churches to minister. Lord, thank you for unlocking the scrolls of your will and your purpose over this church, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for the treasures of your spirit, the treasures, Lord God, of your voice that this church carries, for their anointing to be resilient, to be faithful over little. And that you say, God, because you have been faithful over little, I will appoint you over much. So I pray for pressing in, Lord God, as they sang this morning, Lord, we want more. We want more. We want more. God, we want more. Father, thank you. Can we just all, as we're standing there, say it for Here, Here, ek wil meer hê van dit wat u vir my het. Here, ek is dankbaar vir dit wat u vir my gegee het. Kom ons sê vir die Here dankie vir wat hy vir ons gegee het. Here, maak ons oë oop om te kan sien wat u al reeds vir ons gegee het. Here, ons wil dit celebrate vanoggend. Maar terselfdertyd, Here, kom sê ons vir u dankie vir die meer. Here, vir die oorvloedige lewe. Daarom as jy te my, there's someone here, I just saw you camping and you're making this poikie. En jy het die deksel opgesit en jy sit terug. Ek voel die Here sê vir jou, daar's nog bestanddele. Daar's nog bestanddele wat hy wil insit in daardie poikie. Daar is nog. Haal die deksel af. Daar is nog wat die Here wil kom insit. En die Here wil vir jou sê dat hy sien jou. Hy sien jou. Hy het nie vergeet van jou nie. Jy is vir hom kosbaar. En hy wil weer met jou kom gesels oor die resep. Dis asof jy is so gewoond aan iets doen op dieselfde manier en jy's 'n uitstekende potjie kosmaker. Jy's bekend vir dit, maar die Here kom sê hy wil vir jou nuwe resepte gee. Daar's meer. Daar's meer en dit is asof jy amper in 'n sekere mate begin het om bietjie weg te stap van mense te nooi om te kom proe. Invite people again. Invite them again. Invite them to taste and see that the Lord is good. Maar shot on my full asof die Here vir my sê jy moet 'n potjie kos kompetisie is of 'n kerk braai of iets, maar voel daar's iets wat die Here vir julle gegee het. In kos maak, bazaars, kos, gasvryheid. Here, dankie vir die salwing van gasvryheid, Here, op hierdie gemeente. En ek bid vir vrymoedigheid, Here, om mense in te nooi in die naam van Jesus. Here, om mense te nooi na feesmale toe, na etes toe. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As we minister to these people, if you have the gift of hospitality, I just want to pray for you because I feel the Lord is saying that is holy. Jy voel sometimes, man, ek kan net kos maak. Ek kan net lekker braai. Here sê vir jou, dit is heilig. Rondom daardie braaivleis gesprekke gaan deure oopgemaak word, gaan lewens verander word. Daar rondom die brood wat jy bak, die koek wat jy bak, jou kombuis is 'n heilige plek. Nooi God in dit. Jy gaan hom ontmoet. Ek voel van julle die salwing van die Here gaan so swaar wees in jou kombuis. Mense gaan omkap in jou kombuis onder die salwing van die Here, onder die liefde van die Here. So as jy voel dat jy 'n gawe van gasvryheid gekry, wil jy nie net ook jou hand opsteek? Kom vorentoe as jy nog nie voor is, want ek wil vir jou bid. So ons gaan 'n bietjie tyd spandeer en bedien tot mense en ek gaan oorgee aan julle wonderlike pastoor.
Ja, ek dink as jy by iemand staan, hè, kry gou 'n bietjie olie. Selfie persoon, dames het baie mooi make-up in vandag, so moet dit nie ruïneer nie. Maar maak 'n punt daarvan dat jy vir mekaar sê, luister, dis hoekom ek hier voorkom staan het. Dis waarvoor ek hier voorkom staan het. En jy wat hier voorkom staan, jy is die een wat vandag gesag neem en soos sê, luister, hierdie ding breek in my familie. En van vandag af sien ek hoe Jesus die skraal oopmaak en daai gesag teruggee vir my. En jy vat dit vandag. Okay, enigiets net in daai lyn. Dis geloof, geloof wat jy vandag in aksie oorsit. Okay, go for it. Hier is olietjies hier voor, as jy hulle sommer 'n bietjie wil salf. En as jy agter sit en jy het nie vorentoe gekom nie, sê sommer net vir die Here dankie vir die goed op die oomblik wat begin vloei. Want amper soos ons sê die good stuff, die vreugde in jou lewe. Ek het nou hier gestaan en vir die Here gesê, Here, dankie, ek soek meer vreugde, meer vrede in my lewe. Ek soek meer geduld, Here. Ek wil beter lei. Wat dit ook al doen, bring dit sommer net vir die Here in gebed. Want dis 'n manier van, soos Henry gesê het, ek vat dit nie van selfsprekend nie. Maar ek consecrate dit vandag vir die Here. Ek kom sit dit terug in sy hand. Sien net 'n talent, sien net 'n gawe wat ek gekry het nie. Ek soek die Here se bonatuurlikheid binne en dat dit sy genade om te bly vloei. So daar waar jy ook al staan of sit, hou net aan om met die Here te praat.